to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, the title of our lesson is God's Protective Presence, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 91, which is one of my favorite psalms, and as much as I hear it quoted and referred to, I think it's a favorite psalm of many of you, too. This kind of goes along with what we've been talking about the last month. We had finished a series, and I didn't have a clear direction about a new series, and so I did a lesson on victory through trials, you know, how when we go through difficulties, trials, God can give us victory even in the midst of them. And I decided to follow it up with another one, and we talked about comfort and affliction, how when we go through difficulty, God comforts us in that, but it's not just for our own benefit. It's so that we can then turn around and be used by God to comfort and encourage other people who go through what we've just come through. And then last week, Chris shared on affliction. He had been through so much and the things that he had learned going through all that. And he brought in all kinds of stuff. And by the way, it's online if you weren't here and you want to listen to it. Brought in all kinds of stuff through church history, but also recent stuff of how God used affliction in people's lives and to make them more like Jesus. And that's one of the things that God does in our lives with the affliction and trials, difficulties we go through. And so since next week we're headed a different direction for a couple weeks, I just thought we'd wrap this up by talking about what's God's part in all this. What is God? We've talked about it a little bit. You know, God wants to mold us and shape us, draw us closer to him and all that kind of stuff. But what does God promise to do when we go through difficulties? And Psalm 91 is one of those passages among many that people go to claim God's promises for when we go through difficulties. So tonight we're going to take a look at that, God's promises to protect his people and to help them through difficulties. And again, it's Psalm 91. So we're going to read, I'm going to read the whole psalm all the way through, and then we're going to have some discussion, break it down, and draw some things from it. So Psalm 91, starting in verse 1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love," this now switches to God's perspective, "because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." So, for those of you, this is one of your favorite psalms, or maybe tonight it became one because you just heard it and said, hey, that sounds pretty good. What are some of your favorite parts? What is one of your favorite promises or statements in this psalm that means is very, very meaningful to you? Okay, the desire to be in that secret place, knowing that when we're there, everything is good. All right, what other thoughts jump out for you? Marcia? Refuge and fortress will take us through. You know, it has kind of a military thing. A fortress is a place where you're protected. And I love that word refuge myself. My wife and I often when we pray is, Lord, thank you for our home. Thank you, Lord, that it's a refuge. It's a safe place. It's a place to go where there's peace and calm and all that kind of stuff. Carlton, you had your hand up? All right. The shadow. When you have lived in or been around a place where it's hot. And the sun, we used to live in Arizona, I remember one of the moves we made, it was 120 degrees the day we moved from an apartment to a rental house. That was a fun day. Not. All right, so the shadow. Yes, all right. Anybody else want to share a meaningful part of this song? Vita, and then Lynn. Okay, so rescue you from every trap, thinking of spiritual warfare. He's with us in the midst of that, all right, and his protection as we go about day to day. Lynn. Yeah, the whole focus on relationship. Yeah, it's not like he's just a great big policeman in the sky and he's going to, you know, protect us. But it's a relationship. Yeah, the love that is there. Knows us by name. We know him by name. Anybody else want to share a thought that jumps out at you? Yeah, Kingsley. Okay, all the promises, especially at the end. And he says, I will, not I might or maybe or whatever. I will. Yeah. And it's not because of anything good we've done. It's all because of him. Yeah, Amanda. All right. That's the part you liked, verse 11. Irene. Yeah, it's not just God, but he has angels. I mean, not that he has to use angels, because God can do anything, but he assigns angels to look out for us and help us and protect us. Did I see another hand over that way? Shoshana? In all our ways. Okay. Theo? We don't have to be afraid. Yeah. Sometimes we do, but we don't have to. So, all right. Good. Well, those are all great thoughts. Is there anything about this psalm that bothers you? There's one thing that bothers me. Not about the psalm, not about God, not about his promises. But what about all those times where it seems like this doesn't happen? I mean, if you just read this psalm, looking at it on a surface way, I will do this, I will do that, you know, all these people, but it'll never come to you. But what about those times that we get sick? What about those times that we do have accidents? What about those times that we do suffer? We've been talking about for the last couple. What are those times we do suffer? What about those times that people do come against us and it hurts? You know, what about the affliction we go through? Because again, a surface reading, you could read this and without digging deeper and looking at the whole of Scripture, say, well, I'm never going to experience anything bad in my life. You know? So there's got to be an explanation. And that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight, because you've got people that suffer. You've got people who are martyrs, who give their lives for Christ. You know, people that go through persecution and sickness and danger. So first of all, let's talk about this. Are these promises here, and by the way, I believe all these promises, okay? I don't want you to think that Pastor Tim's turned into a heretic. He doesn't believe God's word. He's not trusting him. That's not it at all. Are these promises for everybody? Everybody in the world? No. For all of God's people. Okay. And that comes down to the definition of God's people. What did you say, Tashana? That dwells in his shelter. We all have, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, good thought. That's part of where I was headed. You know, it's interesting because most of God's promises have conditions. Okay. The big one, I've mentioned this before, you know, when we find a promise in God's word and we want to claim it, we need to make sure it's for us, okay? And most of the promises in God's word are for all of God's people, okay? So I'm not saying like, man, we only have a few, okay? But there are a couple of promises he made, like to David. It was just to David and his family. There are a couple of promises he made to Abraham. They were, I mean, you know, had a child when he was 100 and Sarah was whatever, you know? And there are promises he made to his people in the Old Testament that may or may not transfer over to the church. It depends on how God's word speaks to that. But most of them are God's people. But there are promises. There are promises God even made to his people that there are certain conditions they must fulfill. And Tashana mentioned this one in particular. You know, God promises to protect us if we, but if we don't, I mean, God could have every intention to protect us and we step out from under his protection. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get down here further. Okay, but on your note sheet, the first point, and by the way, these three points are going to add up to a sentence, okay? these verses apply to those who dwell in God's presence, at least according to verse 1. All right, I have down to verse 1 and 2, 9 and 14. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Mighty. So the one who's dwelling in that shelter, who's abiding in the shadow of the Mighty, and who's looking to the Lord to be their refuge and fortress, and they're putting their trust in him. That's what the first two verses say. Okay? Those are the ones that God's made these promises to. You jump down to verse 9. It says, because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, you've made him your refuge. Okay? And then you get down to verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love. So he's talking about not just God's people in general. He's talking about God's people who have a close relationship with him, who are seeking him, who are putting themselves under his protection. And that's what we want to break down a little bit here. Under this point, letter A on your note sheet here, he's talking about people who have a close, ongoing relationship with God. All right? He's talking about those who have a close, ongoing relationship with God. It says that he who dwells with. What thoughts come to your mind when you think of dwelling and using that as kind of a picture of having a relationship with God? Vita? Okay. One way to do that is to... Dwelling and abiding means that you are keeping yourself in right relationship with God. Okay? All right? Tashana? Okay, it's a place you spend a lot of time at. You eat, you sleep. You know, just in general, everyday life, what is your dwelling? It's where you live, okay? It's where you live. It's where you spend your time. It's where you're in relationship, hopefully a really good relationship with your family. All right, so the picture here isn't someone who just kind of gives a nod to God, as I heard one pastor say, you know, but who has a relationship with him, who spends time with him, who lives in his presence, okay? Now, this does not mean that you have to be some super-duper, hyper-spiritual of the top 1% of Christians for this to apply. That's not what I'm trying to say, and that's not what the psalmist is trying to say. But it means we have a real relationship with God. It's not just that I said a prayer when I was 12, and now I'm living my own way, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Lynn, what did you want to add to that?
That question of should, is it?
I said should they do. She said should. That's right. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about salvation. Our salvation isn't conditional. And I'm not negating at all God's love for each and every one of us. And each and every person has a relationship with him. But if we're living in rebellion, God may not treat us any differently, but yet he'll allow, God's word says he will discipline us. So in that sense, he does treat us differently. You know, I mean, you got kids and you got one that's really trying to do the best they can and be good and all that kind of stuff. And you got another one that's constantly rebelling and stuff. You love them both, but you are going to treat them differently. You're going to discipline one. You're going to allow them. And that's what we're getting at here. Not that there's not a relationship. Not that God doesn't love. Not that God doesn't want to protect and all that. But yet, you know, he will discipline. And not only that, but God says, I love you. I'm going to protect you. So if you'll do this, this, and this, you're going to be good. And you just say, oh, I don't want to go do that. You know, I want to go off and I want to do something totally against. And God says, there are consequences to that. So sometimes, I'm not trying to say anytime a believer suffers or is sick or whatever is because they've disobeyed or they've rebelled or there's a lack of faith like some faith teachers teach. That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? But yet when we do turn our backs on God or walk away from or disobey, there can be discipline that comes. And that can be part of the process. That's not the only reason, okay? But it says here that these are people that are in an ongoing relationship with God. They're close. They're dwelling in the shelter. They're abiding in his shadow, okay? It says later on that he knows my name. In the Bible, when you talk about knowing someone's name, it's not just knowing what they're called, but that means you know the person, you know their character, you have a relationship with them, okay? Talks about those who love God. Letter B on your note sheet, those who love God, verse 14. He says, because he holds fast to me in love. God says, you are holding fast to me in love. Again, this doesn't mean that you love perfectly, because none of us do. All right? Because you hold fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Okay? Now, we have a lot of people that say, I love God. But what is the biblical evidence of love for God? You live for him. That's it. You keep my commandments, live for him, walk in obedience. You know, words are cheap, right? Anybody can say, oh, I love so-and-so, but it's the actions. I mean, that's true in human relationships. It's the actions that really demonstrate that, okay? And the same thing is true. I mentioned that in my sermon on Sunday, and it comes up every once in a while because it's a theme of the Bible. You know, if you have someone say, oh, I love God, and they could care less about obeying him, living for him, walking close to him or whatever, the Bible basically says you better examine your salvation. It may not really be there, you know, because when you truly are trusting in Christ, your life will change. Did I see another hand over here somewhere? Maybe not. Okay. You'll go ahead. Yes. In fact, that is another scriptural truth that you just demonstrated all your description without saying it. It says that our love for God is demonstrated in our love for others. If we don't love others, then it shows that our love for God is not what it should be either. Okay? Letter C there, those who trust God. Those who trust God. Okay? In verse 2, it says here, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Okay? Sorry, what? Yeah, letter B was those who love God. Letter C is those who trust God. What is the evidence of trusting God? How do we know if we're really trusting God? It's the same thing, isn't it? You're doing what he says. You know, you're living for him. If God says, trust me, do this, then we do it. You know? It's two different words, but they are so tied together. Yeah. Exactly. Trusting means you rely on somebody. They're going to do what they said they're going to do. And if you trust someone, you're going to do what they ask you to do. You know, I mean, think of any action movie or whatever, and these people are escaping this terrible thing, and somebody jumps over a chasm, and somebody's afraid to jump. And they say, jump! No, do you trust me? Jump! Now, hopefully it's a human you can trust, but if it's God, when God says jump, you rely on him. You jump, right? So that's a sign of trust. Yeah, Bert. That's right. That is the goal. We all struggle to stay truly committed and truly dedicated 100%. But that is the goal, that we have that ongoing close relationship. Then letter D, I mean, this is kind of an obvious one, those who look to God for protection. But it's stated here, you know, in verse 1, I'm sorry. Yeah, those who look to God, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow. The shadow is the place of protection. That's what I was looking for, yeah. And in verse 2, we're looking to God to be our refuge, to be our fortress. We're trusting in him. So we're looking to him for protection. Verse 9 mentions God being our refuge again. So we're not just relying on ourselves. And I say just because God expects us to be independent, to take advantage of the strength he's given us, the wisdom he's given us, the resources he's given us, because we're supposed to be good stewards of those. But we're not just looking to ourselves, but we're looking to God. We're looking to God, okay, not just relying on ourselves or on other people. Nothing wrong with that, but God. Yes, Vita.
Okay, so when we...
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, this is the Old Testament, so it doesn't mention Jesus, but for us, we look to Jesus because he's the one that's purchased our relationship with God, purchased our salvation, forgiveness of our sins. So that first line is those who dwell in God's presence. Number two there are under God's protection. Those who dwell in God's presence are under God's protection. And that's really the focus of verses 3 to 13. And there's a lot of different things that are listed there, but I kind of categorized them a little bit. Letter A is from deliberate plots against us. Aren't you glad God's looking out for us when people plot against us? Yeah, it says, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. One church we served at as youth pastors, there were some people there. Their last name was Fowler. And I always kind of chuckled when I'd read this. Anybody know what a fowler is? It's a trivia question. It's a bird catcher. That's right. All right. So somebody sets a trap to catch a bird, live, dead, whatever. It's a symbol for a trap. And it says that he will deliver you from the trap, those who would plot against you. All right. Letter B is what Theo mentioned. I like this part. For those that cause fear. You know, verses 5 and 6, he says, you will not fear. Terror of night, arrow flies by day, pestilence stalks in the darkness, destruction that wastes at noonday. I like because it's got nighttime, daytime. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm going through tough times or whatever, if I get up and the day's kind of nice and I have some good experiences, I can do pretty good. But when I'm laying in bed at night, if I'm not real careful, you got to guard your mind, right? Because all these thoughts come your way, or wake up in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and then your mind doesn't stop working. You know, and you got to remind yourself of God's goodness and his promises, that there are things out there that we may not like and they're real, but if we're children of God, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. And that is a great point to make, because that raised the question that we started at the beginning. What is it that bothers, you know, does anything bother you? I said, one thing bothers me, not about God or whatever, but that it seems like this isn't always our experience. But take a look at that, because yes, God says he's going to protect us, but part of it shows him protecting us through, or protecting it after it's already started. You know, another really great scripture, I meant to put it on here, it's Isaiah. You quoted it the other day, Lynn. I can't remember which chapter it is, where it says, where if you go through the fire, you will not be burned. Go through the floods, you will not drown. Can you quote that again? You quoted it to Dorothy the other day when we were there. I think it's 43, Isaiah 43. Yeah, the fire, when you go through the fire. But the thing is, that's a great promise of protection, but it's because you're going through the fire. And you're going through the floods. So that's one of the answers of this. You've got these promises of God to protect and help you, but not necessarily to shield you from all this stuff. Okay? He will do some shielding. And I'm so glad for the times he shields us. Where we don't, I mean, how many times have we been in a situation, we look back, it's like, oh my goodness, if it wouldn't have been for God, that would have happened to me, or this would have happened to me, or, you know, and God protected and kept us from going through it at all. But other times it's like, I'm going through it, but God's protecting me through it. Did you have your hand up, Norris? Go ahead. That's right. You know, I'll repeat that for the recording, that there are so many times God protects us that we don't even know it. And I agree with you. I said that before. When we get to heaven, if God lets us look back at all the time he protected us, or an angel was there to do whatever, you know, I think we'll be like, oh my goodness. I thought it was bad, but boy, it could have been a whole lot worse. Or it was so good because of God's protection. I'm sure most of you, maybe all of you, have heard that poem. It was so popular. It's called Footprints. You know, and it talks about, you know, somebody looking back on their life, and it shows two sets of footprints. And it represents them and Jesus walking side by side. And they say, oh, but Jesus, here's a part of my life. It was really rough. There's only one set of footprints. Why weren't you there? And he says, I was there. I was carrying you, you know. And so there's definitely a lot of truth to that. That God protects us in so many ways that we probably don't even know. Yes, Carlton. That's right. So that adds another reason to why God allows the difficulties, even though he's promised to protect us. One is because we've wandered away and we've gotten ourselves in a dangerous situation, like a kid that wanders in the road, even though the parent tells him, don't do that. Sometimes God will let it happen, even though maybe he would say, I'd really like to pray, but you know what? I'm going to use this to help somebody else. Yeah. That's right. Okay, we're on number C, right? Okay, under God's protection, letter C, from those things that bring others down. That's the verses there, verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You know, there's times it's like, man, everybody else is struggling, but God's protecting me for whatever reason. I mean, I'm in relationship with him and everything, but he protects us from things that sometimes bring other people down, especially people that don't have a relationship with God. Letter D, protects us from the punishment that the wicked deserve. He says, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. He says, you will look and see there are other people that are suffering specifically because they are wicked, but you're not going to suffer that because you have a relationship with me. All right. Now, who are the wicked that deserve punishment? Very good. All of us. But like Vita said, because of Jesus, he's taking care of it, right? But there are people that remain and continue and persist in their wickedness and rebellion, and one day there will be judgment. All right? So, what'd you say?
The wicked are like the shaft that the wind goes away.
That's right. That's right. Letter E, from harm and disaster. Under God's protection from harm and disaster. Just I'm not going to reread all of verses 9 through 12. Just different situations from the inside, from the outside, and plague and all that kind of stuff. And that's the part where it talks about how he will command angels concerning you to guard your ways. But this doesn't give us permission to test God. Now, there's an old joke I've heard. It says that, you know, when you're driving down the road, you need to go the speed limit, because when you go above the speed limit, the angels get out of the car. So, okay, but anyway, in other words, we shouldn't push our luck and expect God to cover us. We need to do what's right, okay? And that was the essence of one of the temptations that the devil used on Jesus. I mean, this is the passage where the devil quoted to Jesus. He says, cast yourself off the temple. God's gonna protect you. And, you know, the underlying idea that a lot of people say is that, you know, this would be a great thing because people would see it and they'd really glorify you and follow you and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, no, you don't put the Lord your God to the test. So we've got all these promises of protection, in specific this one about angels, but that doesn't mean that we can just say, oh, I'll do whatever I want to do because God's going to take care of me. He's going to protect me, you know. So, okay. Yeah.
I want to ask you, you are talking about the pain of earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Or persecution.
And persecution.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get to that right after letter F. That was going to be my next question, okay? So let's go ahead and do letter F, and then we'll talk about that question, okay? So he also protects this letter F from those determined to harm God's people. And that's very similar to the one about the fowler's snare, you know, protect from the fowler's snare. But in verse 13, it says, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Obviously, that could be applied literally, but probably figuratively, he's talking about our enemies. Okay? Most people don't go around walking on lions. They may step on a snake by accident, you know, but it's talking about those who are determined to harm God's people. So let's talk about Lynn's question. We've already dealt with it a little bit, with all these promises that God's going to take care of his people, protect them, whatever. How do we deal with the fact that sometimes God's people that really love him, experience these things? And before we get to the answer, think of some. What are some examples of people in the Bible, or maybe well-known Christians, that really suffered some of these things? Marcia, Job. Okay, who else? Jonah. Okay. Do what? You know, actually, if you make a list of all the famous people in the Bible, you'd be hard pressed to find one that didn't suffer in some way. Okay, so how do we deal with that? We got all these wonderful promises, and they're valid, and we want to pray them, claim them, believe them, but then how do we explain? You know, again, there are some faith teachers that would say, well, you should claim all these totally and completely literally, and if you are suffering, that means there's sin in your life, or you don't have enough faith. Now, sin in our life can cause problems, not having a faith can cause problems, but that's not the only answer. Yes, Jean. Yeah, there are times that God's will is that we suffer. In fact, we looked at it a couple weeks ago in Peter. Peter says, so those of you that are suffering according to God's will, just basically means that that's part of God's plan and there's a reason for it. And that really comes down to it. If God allows his people to suffer, and to whatever degree, in whatever way, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Norris. That's right. The man that was born blind, you know, back in their day, they thought, well, if a child was born blind, you know, you got to blame it on somebody. How do you blame it on the child? He wasn't born yet. It must be the parents, you know, or maybe God knew what the man was going to do, so he caused me born blind. That was kind of idea. But Jesus said, no, God allowed it because he was going to bring glory out of it. Okay. So we've talked about a number of reasons. There could be reasons why God would protect them, but they chose to step out from under that protection. He told them exactly what to do. They went and did something else. It's sort of like we as parents or grandparents. You tell your kid or grandkid, don't do this, that, and the other. They do it, and they get the consequences, whether you give it to them or it just happens. and say, I told you so. You know, sometimes it's because we don't trust God. Sometimes we disobey him. We do our own thing. But the main thing is that often God has a reason to allow it to happen for our good. But the point is, no matter what the reason is, even if in our stupidity, rebellion, or whatever, God never stops loving us. God never stops working on our behalf and protecting us to the degree that it's for our own good. Okay? God never leaves us defenseless. Okay? I like this statement. It says, nothing comes our way that has not already passed through God's hands. Okay? You know, if you think about it as a parent or a grandparent, you want to protect your children and your grandchildren as much as you can. But there are times we let them suffer, right? And not because they frustrated us or ticked us off. It's because they got to learn to live in the real world, right? And I think there are times that God allows us, for all the reasons we've talked about in these lessons, to draw us close to him, to make us more like Jesus, so he can use us, as Carlton said, and we talked a couple weeks ago, to help other people. Yeah, Vita, you had your hand up. Oh, does God kind of pay you back for your sin before you were a Christian, after you were a Christian? I don't know that I put it that way, no. I mean, there are sins we can be involved with before we're a Christian that after we're a Christian, we're still going to suffer the consequences. You know, I mean, if there's certain sins that we've been involved in that brought about really bad health, God could heal us, but we may still suffer the consequences, you know, and other things like that. Okay, we got to wrap this up. So let's go to the third point, okay, and are the recipients of God's promises. So they're meant to be read all together. Those who dwell in God's presence are under God's protection and are the recipients of God's promises, okay? And we're going to reread verses 14 to 16. It says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. As I said when we read it the first time, this is God speaking now. The people that, you know, dwell with him, they're under the shadow of his wing, they're serving, they're, you know, God's going to protect them. So if you look at these last things, and we're just going to do this really quickly, God says he's going to deliver him, he's going to protect them, he's going to answer when he calls, be with him in trouble, we'll rescue him, we'll honor him, we'll satisfy him with long life, we'll show him my salvation. What goes in those blanks? Your name. I want you to write your name in there, okay? If you really try to love and serve God and stay close to him, you're not going to do it perfect. I know I don't. If you do it perfect, come talk to me. I want to have you teach on how you did it, okay? But God has made these promises to us. But keep in mind, like Lynn said before, sometimes he protects us from something that we never have to go through. Sometimes he's protecting us as we go through. But as we mentioned before, God doesn't let anything come our way that he's not fully in control of. And if we see it as a negative thing, he's got a reason for it. So the last thing on your note sheet is this. Those who know God, love God, seek God, obey God, and serve God are under his protection. Nothing can harm a child of God unless the Lord permits it. Now, is that really comforting? Yes. That's right.
So anyway, you look at it, he delivers.
That's right.
He didn't say, no, I won't come to you. Mm-hmm. He said, he'll deliver it, and I deliver you by taking home.
That's right. That's the whole main point of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we're not going to bow down. Our God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're good. We're good. So the thing is, we would love to be able to take this psalm at face value and like, nothing bad's going to ever happen to me. Doesn't line up with real life, but it's because of the reasons we talked about. God's either protecting us from or he's protecting us through. Is that still comforting? Yes. It's a lot better than facing all the stuff without God. We don't have anybody looking out for us. All right? So. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They do. People in the military, firefighters. I know Reginald Crenshaw was a firefighter. He loved this song. I think he said that at least the firefighters he was a part of used it as their kind of their theme. Yeah. So we can claim these promises. God's going to take care of me. And in any way it looks like he's not, you know, I need to look at my life and say, have I stepped away from what he told me to do? Because if he did, I want to get back under that umbrella of protection. It's like you're carrying an umbrella in a downpour. You stay underneath it, you don't get wet. But you step out from under it, you're going to get all wet. So I want to stay under the umbrella of God's protection. But whatever God allows, if I'm serving him, he's got a reason. He'll bring good out of it. That's Romans 8:28. You know, we've talked about that many times. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had tonight. And the last month, what as we've looked at going through trials and difficulties and afflictions and all that kind of stuff. And we thank you, Lord. This psalm wraps it all up to say that you are fully in control. And as we love you and serve you, Lord God, even when we're, as your children mess up sometimes and all that, and even when we rebel, you still love us. You're going to discipline us, but you're going to bring us, draw us back. Thank you, Lord, that you're always looking out for our best interests. Thank you that you're always wanting to protect us and prepare us, Lord God, for eternity. And I pray that you'd help us to have that confidence, Lord God, and that joy that comes from knowing we don't face anything alone. And Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.